All right, Alexandra, let's talk about Trump's pardons. And specifically, let's talk about Assange. We could talk about Assange. We could talk about Snowden. Tucker Carlson did an open 2 days ago, the opening segment, and he talked about Assange and John Kiriakou, how he believed they should have gotten a pardon. He lobbied for both of them to get a pardon. He even interviewed, I believe it's his fiance, Assange's fiance as well. And he was hoping that Trump would pardon Assange and John Kiriakou, and other people were saying Snowden and Manning, and none of that happened. What we did get is we got Bannon, we got Lil Wayne, we got some other people that I don't really know, to be quite honest. Someone associated with the Kushner family again, I believe, like his uncle or his uncle's friend or something. But outside of Bannon and Lil Wayne, I don't know any of the other pardons, but we didn't get Assange. And Tucker also mentioned the following day, real quick, he mentioned that one of the reasons Trump didn't pardon Assange, and Tucker did say this, is because he got a letter from Mitch McConnell that said if Trump were to pardon Assange, then they would move forward with an aggressive impeachment. That's what Tucker said. Along I'm paraphrasing, that's what he said along those lines. And we've had articles that have said something similar to that. So what's your take on what happened?
Right, before we begin, I should declare an interest. I know John Kiriakou, and of course I've spoken out many times on behalf of Julian Assange, including in public places. I absolutely think that both John Kiriakou and Assange, and of course Snowden, are all legitimate, proper, fully innocent whistleblowers. They deserve pardons, and I've spoken clearly and strongly about the proceedings against Assange that have been brought by the United States and which are still underway in Britain. So just to make that absolutely clear. Now, I have absolutely no doubt that this story about Mitch McConnell's threat to Donald Trump is true, because if it was not true, it would surely have been formally denied. I have no doubt that it happened, and I find it profoundly shocking. And I'm going to say this. I mean, I've said many things about Donald Trump at various times, good things, sometimes not so good things. Today, I'm going to say something not so good. I think if I was in Donald Trump's position and I was in receipt of that sort of threat from Mitch McConnell, I would have sent a short message back, which was impeach and be damned. And I would have gone ahead and pardoned Assange, Snowden, Manning, Kiriakou without the slightest hesitation. And I'd have gone on television, which it would have been still in my right as president to do. And I would have laid all the facts bare, both about Mitch McConnell's threats and about my response to them. Because blackmail is something one should never, ever bend to, especially blackmail of this kind. If Mitch McConnell wants to go ahead in that case and support an aggressive impeachment, which, note, would in that case would be unrelated to the events of 6th January, then let him go ahead, let him face the American people and explain that. And if on that basis, in this illegal and unconstitutional impeachment, and I have explained why in a program on my own channel, that impeachment of a person who is a private individual, not a sitting president, is clearly unconstitutional on its face. All you have to do is read the relevant provisions in the Constitution to see that. If they pressed ahead with that kind of unconstitutional and illegal impeachment, I would have taken it to the courts, including to the Supreme Court of the United States. I would have pointed out that the impeachment is unconstitutional, that it was based on blackmail, and that it was not a good faith impeachment, and that Mitch McConnell's threats proved it to be so. That is the line I would have taken. I am very sorry. I am very sorry that Donald Trump did not do that.
Okay. A few things that I would like to unpack regarding this. Let me play a little devil's advocate with you there. And I'm also extremely disappointed that Assange and Kiriakou and Snowden and Manning were not pardoned. What do you do if you're threatened in such a way? And I don't have, this is just my opinion, or maybe many people may say it's my fantasy, just so I can be correct as to what I'm saying. I don't have any facts or information of this. I've just heard rumors and stories. If McConnell and the deep state make very serious threats against you and people whom you love, say, for example, and, you know, many people have heard stories about the D.C. goings-ons and how aggressive things can be in D.C. in that political world.
Yes.
What do you do in a case like that from a legal point of view?
Obviously, one has to be as careful in one's answers as you are in your question. But if you do that, firstly, you make those public. Mitch McConnell would obviously deny those things. But in that case, you make them public, you inform the American people of them, and you take whatever precautions you can. But if that is what happens, if you are in receipt of those kind of warnings, we're using careful language, then that's what you do, in my opinion. Again, you should not submit to those kind of warnings, because if you do, you open yourself up to that kind of pressure again. Now, I have to say, if that is the situation, if that was the situation, then I would modify and backtrack on what I have said, because I would understand why in that case a someone like Donald Trump, who is devoted to his family, that is clear, might backtrack a little.
And the reason I say that is because maybe the warnings, and I'm choosing my words carefully, and once again, this is just in my fantasy. This is just in my head right now.
Yeah.
Right? I don't have any evidence whatsoever of anything. We're just having a discussion here. The reason I say is because maybe the warnings are so great, they're so strong, and I go back to Chuck Schumer when Trump first got into office, where Chuck Schumer told Rachel Maddow, what was it, six ways to Sunday? I always mess up what he said.
No,
but he made that threat about the deep state and the CIA and how they can get to you. And I think he did use the word they can get to you six ways and twice on Sunday, something like that.
Absolutely. No, I understand that. And by the way, I mean, I'm not saying this sort of thing doesn't happen. Of course it does. And if that is what you are subjected to, then I can understand better what might have happened. But can I just say, in that case, you should still, it seems to me, try and make the fact public. I hope if anything like that did happen, and again, I want to make it very clear, I have no information that it did, no evidence at all to think that it did. But if it did happen, then I hope that at some point it is made public, because the American people need to know.
Okay, and we don't, and once again, we're reporting on the McConnell or this type of rhino pressure of a letter sent, going off of what Tucker Carlson said during his segment and some other reports that have said, that have corroborated that narrative. So Assange is not been convicted of a crime, but he sits in a prison.
Yes.
Where do you take this now? Where do you go from here?
Well, can I just say, he is sitting in a prison. He's not convicted of any crime. And the trial, which took place of the US government's application to have him extradited, ended with the judge deciding that he should not be extradited. So it is completely baffling why he is in prison. I mean, it makes no legal sense, at least no legal sense to me. Perhaps some people can explain it to me, but I've heard no explanations that for me make any sort of sense at all. Now, what I do know is that a week ago, the US government did file its appeal against the judge's decision. I was hearing and expecting that there would be an appeal against the decision to refuse Assange bail. I've heard nothing about that. I would have hoped that it would be decided quickly, and I'm concerned that it has not been. So that's all I can say. I absolutely take the view that he should be out of prison because, as you said, he's not serving any sentence and the judge has refused to extradite him. So why is he in prison? I don't understand it. It makes no legal sense.
Okay, so I'm going to throw one final scenario at you. And once again, this is just from, you know, my a hypothesis that I have. Say that Trump didn't get, you know, a huge amount, not the type of pressure that we were talking about before, but say he was under a pressure, a legal pressure, given the court systems have now been exposed as being extremely partisan.
Yes.
And we saw that with Flynn. And say the pressure from Trump was, look, we know you want to pardon Assange. We know you want to release Russiagate documents because we didn't really get those either. So we know you want to do all these things in your last couple of days. But keep in mind that we've got this January 6th event and we've got this quote unquote insurrection moniker that we're, you know, putting on you and your supporters and your inner circle. And understand that if you decide to pardon people like Assange and release documents like those of Russiagate, we are going to tie you up in court for so long with other charges unrelated to you as a president. It could be charges on your business, on your son's business, on tax filings, on God knows what, on crossing the street, you know, from the wrong side. Who knows what they could fabricate, very much along the lines of Flynn. And we've got all this stuff that we're just going to tie you in court for so long that you're never going to be able to breathe again. You're going to lose all your fortune. It's going to be a legal living hell. And we've seen that because we've understood, once again, the court case of Flynn, among other court cases. Roger Stone is another example that if they want to, they could use their judges that they've placed, their federal judges and their state judges. They could literally destroy a person's life. And maybe that's something that Trump considered, because at the end of the day, we didn't get much of anything.
Well, that's entirely right. That's entirely right. Can I just say, I mean, one of the things that Donald Trump cannot be under any doubts about by now is that the court system in the United States is not something that he can rely upon. I mean, I think that's, I don't think I'm saying anything controversial when I say that. And the case of Flynn, of what happened with Michael Flynn, must be a special warning. And again, if he's been coming under that kind of pressure, then I have a huge amount of sympathy for his problems. And standing from where I am, or sitting from where I am, I can understand his decision. I mean, I would, if that was the position and he was to explain it to me, I would say, well, Mr. President, I understand why you did what you did, and I don't hold it against you that you did what you did, because I know what a terrible, horrible experience that kind of unending legal proceedings can be. How it is a form of, you know, psychological torture to be put through endless litigation. I don't think anybody who's experienced it would dispute it. What I must say, though, and I'm saying this in the abstract as someone who is looking at this problem from the outside, is that to govern is to choose. That's a famous comment that was once made by a French prime minister. But the point is, if you are the leader, if you have power, then it is your duty to exercise it properly. and put aside, put to one side, the consequences for yourself. I think in the abstract, even if you are faced with those kind of threats, you should have made the decision to pardon Assange, Snowden, Manning, and Kyriakou, because that would have been the right thing to do. And that's what I think. Now, I would also say, in that sort of case, that you should make public to the American people. Remember, he was still the president. He still would have had the right to address the American people in a TV broadcast. He should have said, I've made this decision. I'm under notice that this is what the consequences for me and potentially for my family might be, because I made that decision. But I am your president, your elected president, your constitutionally elected president, and I'm going to make these decisions because I believe those decisions are right. And again, ultimately, the right thing to do in that kind of situation is to take it to the American people and to face the consequences, whatever they are. I say that, I understand that it's easy for me to say. I'm not in Donald Trump's place. I'm not saying, of course, that that happened, but, you know, we're theorizing, we're hypothesizing now. But I would understand, if that was what happened, why Donald Trump decided that to take a different course.
Yeah, no one knows why, but I would say that if he had won the re-election, then I think he would have pardoned them, because he wouldn't have had much to fear, since he would have had a very strong mandate. Nor do I think the Republicans would give him, they would give pushback, but they wouldn't have much to stand on. But no. I think he was placed in such a difficult position that I could sympathize. But okay, you also want to see Assange pardoned, and these guys. What a tough situation it is. And to me, it just tells me they're not, the deep state's not going to let it, Assange. They're not going to let this go. No matter what.
I know. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, to be straightforward about this, if Assange were pardoned, I think as night follows day, the US authorities would come up with something else. They might still do. But given that that is the real danger, that, you know, if he were pardoned, they would come up with something else. It might actually be better for Assange to go through the whole legal process and get a decision from the courts in England, which would protect him in England, because we are not in a position here in Britain to go round the courts in that kind of a way. So it might be better, actually, from a long-term point of view, if this legal process in Britain were to run its course. But of course, I say that on making some very big assumptions about the integrity of that process. I believe in that integrity, but I know many people don't. I personally do. And I'm confident that the outcome will be good for Assange. But I understand other people think otherwise, and I understand why.
What a nasty situation this has all turned out to be.
It's a horrible situation. But can I just say, very typical, increasingly typical of the state of our times. I mean, you know, I don't want to go around and talk about all the other things. I don't want to make this program too depressing. But look around you and see what's happening around the world. And, you know, it is a terrible comment on our times, but those are the times in which we live. There will be better times. There will be better times. There always are. When this kind of thing happens, it will eventually produce a pushback. Of that I have no doubt. But in the meantime, all sorts of problems and losses will happen along the way.
All right. We'll leave it there. Alexander Berkurs, thank you very much. Guys, look for us on BitChute, Rumble, and Odyssey. go to those platforms. You'll find the link down below. Look for Alexander's channel. You'll find the link down below to that. Look for my channel. There'll be a link right under his. PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, and Bitcoin. You'll find those links as well to help out this channel. And of course, you can also help out by going to the Durant Shop, maybe picking up a cool hoodie like the ones we are wearing.
Mm-hmm. Indeed so. And please do go to our shop. You'll find absolutely great things there. The people who buy from our shop are, you know, extraordinarily positive, even enthusiastic about the products that they find there. We have extraordinarily positive feedback, and you support our channel by, you know, buying these great things. And of course, you support us also by finding our other channels and by finding us on our other platforms. And that's expanding and developing all the time. But please, please have patience. Alex is working incredibly hard. We are a small, small channel at the moment. We can't do everything at once, but we are steadily moving there. And you can support us in all sorts of ways, as Alex said. And we look forward to you joining us in our next program.
All right, Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.